You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB At The Plate. MLB At The Plate airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate podcast. I'm Holden Kushner, and today I'm joined by J.P. Arencibia. We're going to start the podcast out with Josh Bell, the rookie first baseman for the Pirates, who joined us before his game with the Giants. Josh Bell joining us here on MLB At The Plate. Hey, Josh, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia, how are you?
I'm pretty good. What's going on, guys?
You tell me what's going on. It's a lot of fun to watch your team kind of rise from the dead, and I'm sure you guys never thought that you were out of it, but what has been the driving force behind your team's resurgence?
Yeah, I mean, we're in a really good place right now when our offense gets clicking, 1-9, doing the right things, you know, pitchers getting bunts down, guys having complete at-bats and driving runs in when we can, and, you know, our bullpen does the rest. You know, the guys falling up games, Rivero, Nicasio, pretty much lights out guys. So we can keep the lead until the seventh and eighth inning. You know, it's a ball game after that.
What's up, Jay? It's JP. No longer playing against you now. I'm asking you questions, watching you hit homers all the time. Talk to me about your home runs, because, you know, I played against you in the minor leagues, and your home run numbers weren't huge numbers, and now you're in the big leagues and you're crushing. I mean, I'm watching you lean back on balls with a little extra oomph at the end. Talk to me what adjustments that you've been able to make to be able to start driving the ball out more consistently.
Yeah, I feel like, especially right now, with the batting average up as well, I'm in a better place physically, mechanically, just being a little bit more upright towards the ball, staying, you know, even keel on my load and not trying to do too much with my body and letting my hands fire. When I get to a good, you know, landing position, I can really fire the barrel through the strike zone, and that's where I get the most damage. Before, it was a lot of body getting in the way. You know, my first movement might be my shoulder pulling out or, you know, my hips firing first. But right now, I'm in a good place. Things changed in the minor leagues. I was more focused on average then. I try to still be that same guy, be an average guy, but, you know, home runs play up here as well. So just trying to get a little bit of both.
Oh, yeah. Chicks dig the long ball, and so do front offices and arbitration. So you keep doing what you're doing. And then my other question is, let's talk about McCutchen, right? This guy comes into the season. They move him around. He's one of the better guys in the game as just a human being, and starts off slow. And now he's been on fire. How great has it been to be able to watch him do what he's been doing?
I mean, I've been getting the best seat in the house to watch him do what he does. The last probably seems 2 months, he's been hitting, you know, over 370, probably 400. It's incredible how he works counts. It's incredible how he will ambush guys when he knows, you know, he's got a good opportunity to see a strike, you know, make you pay right out of the gate, or he can work you to a 3-2 count and then make you pay then. Driving the ball to all fields, working counts, hardly swinging and missing at all. You see a guy like that at the top of his game, the game just slows down, and it seems like everyone in the stadium stops to watch him hit.
Yeah, you talk about McCutchen in the field and at the plate, but what has he meant to you as a teammate? Because he's widely renowned as one of the best guys in baseball. What's it like having McCutchen as a guy kind of showing you the way?
Well, you know, ex-MVP, you know, cover of MLB The Show, one of the best center fielders, you know, in the game, but super normal guy, you know, super, you know, the first guy that has a smile, you know, cracking a joke. Super normal guy talking about, you know, wanting to take a pitch and swinging at the first pitch. You know, we're all baseball players. We're all human. But when you can, you know, come back in the dugout and laugh, you're like, man, I was really trying to take that first pitch, but I couldn't control myself and swung right at it. It makes it a lot easier for us rookies realizing that, you know, we're all human. We're going to make mistakes. But when you're at the top of the game, you know, it's a lot more fun to play.
And Josh Bell's with us of the Pirates. Do you still feel like a rookie? Do they treat you like a rookie? Because here we are. I mean, we're over halfway. We're 100 games in.
No, I mean, I barely missed my rookie status last year. So I feel like now I've gotten, 120 games in professionally, probably more than that. So I definitely feel like I know the ins and outs, but I definitely don't know the game like a David Friesewood or Chris Stewart. So I'm definitely all ears when they start talking about the game. So rookie in those regards, but not necessarily, you know, on paper anymore.
And I know you're a humble guy, so you won't say it, but I'll say it for you. A big part of McCutchen's success is having guys around you or around him like you, and pitchers being able to not want to have to get to guys like yourself. But my next question is, and this is what we talk about, you know, now with the trade deadline coming up, and I know guys will say, oh, yeah, I don't pay attention. But how much of the talk is going on now in that clubhouse and guys being able to follow? I mean, how much is that going on in the Pittsburgh Pirates clubhouse?
It's always so up in the air. I feel like guys have been part of trade talks for, you know, multiple years in a row, and it just kind of just sounds like, you know, just buzz. Control the controllables. We're in the hunt right now. We're playing really good baseball. So we're not worried about who's coming, who's leaving, you know, whether a team is trying to buy or trying to sell. We're just trying to go out and compete it on a daily basis. And when you can do that, you know, you see it on TV and you can kind of laugh about it because, you know, there's no fortune tellers. You don't really know what's going to happen until it happens. So we just cross our fingers and hope we can continue to win.
Hey, tell us a little bit about the guy that's on the mound tonight, on and off the field, and Jameson Taillon. We know what he's overcome. He's been spectacular on the mound. What kind of guy is he? And what did his, I guess, defeating cancer, what kind of inspiration did that give this team?
Well, first and foremost, he asked me if I feel like a rookie. I feel like Jameson, it's my first full year playing with him. Feels like he's been a part of the league for 4 or 5 years, especially how he attacks guys on the mound. He's fearless. He's fun to play behind. He controls, you know, what he can control. He controls his strike zone. First pitch strikes are off the charts and put away pitches, you know, just soft, weak contact. And then you get the guy off the field who's, you know, the first person up in the morning, always checking out a new coffee shop in a new town. Always has the best advice for where to go to eat. You know, he's a guy you can go to for that as well. He's just a complete guy, you know. So goes through that cancer scare, comes back same guy, and still dominating. I think he's thrown better now than before. So it's fun to watch. It's fun to play with, and it's definitely a blessing to have him as a part of our team.
Well, good luck against Bumgarner tonight. That's always fun, I'm sure, especially out in San Francisco. And, you know, get down in a nice mid-50s, so get yourself a little hoodie or a windbreaker, and things will go well. Josh, thanks so much for the time tonight. We really appreciate it. It's a great hit by you. And tell Jimmy T we appreciate it, too. He's one of the best media relations guys, because you haven't been around any of the other ones. You got one of the best in the business right there. He takes care of you. Thanks for the time.
I had a feeling. I definitely had a feeling. Thanks for your time, guys. Appreciate it. See you, JP.
You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, and we'll be right back with more after this.
Radio Disney loves bringing you the music you love. So get ready, because we're about to give you more to love. We've added a new member to the Radio Disney family, Radio Disney Country. It's the hits you love from country's biggest artists, plus legends in the making.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Hunter Hayes.
It's Kelsey Ballerini.
Hey, it's Maddie and Tate.
Country music never sounded so good. It's your music, your way, your country. Radio Disney Country, now available on TuneIn.
This is the MLB At The Plate podcast. Here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
Now it's time for the MLB At The Plate Triple Play, where J.P. and I discuss three topics that interest us. Tonight, our Triple Play includes discussions about Anthony Swarzak getting traded, Steven Strasburg's future after another injury, and where the Rockies should focus on improving.
The MLB At The Plate Triple Play.
So let's talk about this deal. Trying to figure out the players that are going to the White Sox, but the Brewers pick up Anthony Swarzak, and the dismantling of the White Sox continues, and Rick Hahn just keeps accumulating talent. I'm a big Swarzak guy. I don't know if he – I feel like at some point in time he can close. We'll see, you know, how that develops as he continues to come on. He has one save this year, but I'm just looking at the numbers. He's got a whip of basically one. His ERA has been stellar at 2.23. The strikeouts to walks, you know, he's got 52 Ks in just 13 walks, 52 Ks and 48 in the third inning. So he's really having a terrific season. I love this move for the Brewers.
Yeah, and you, honestly, what I like is a guy who's battle-tested. I mean, talk about he was up in the big leagues, down in the minor leagues, up in the big leagues, down in the minor leagues. He's a guy who has had the ability and just hasn't been able to put it together. He had a pretty good year with Minnesota. Then he had a bad year, and so he's kind of been back and forth. He was with the Yankees in AAA last season and didn't get – I mean, he got a little bit of a shot back in the big leagues and then goes to Chicago, and all of a sudden – he just really, really flourishes. So it's been very, very cool to see him flourish really so much that he became a trade bait and teams wanted him. So I think it's a testament to him. And, again, you talk about signings that really pay dividends. I mean, great job, Chicago White Sox. You go and you get this guy on a minor league deal in the offseason. He makes a team. He's putting up huge numbers. All of a sudden – now you got prospects for him, and you really didn't do anything for that. So kudos to them.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, the Brewers are fading in the Sonny Gray discussions. I mean, we'll see what happens there. But good for Milwaukee. And right now they're in Washington, D.C., taking on the Nationals. But the Brewers, you talked about this last night with the deal that we discussed with Jaime Garcia to the Twins. Is this the type of thing that gets the Brewers clubhouse a little bit buzzing? Now, it's not a starting pitcher, it's just a reliever, but what this does is tells the Brewers, right? David Stearns, our GM, believes in us. We're going out and we're buying. Does this tell you anything if you're a Brewers player?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good acquisition. You got another bullpen piece to already a good bullpen. I don't think that they're flipping out about it in the sense of they're going crazy because they just got Anthony Swarzak. I think it's more of an excitement because, hey, we just acquired somebody. Who else may be coming? Who's next? Because if they're acquiring guys, you know that's not really their only move. They're not going to just stop at Anthony Swarzak. I don't imagine that they think that Anthony Swarzak is going to be the biggest difference to them making the playoffs or winning the division or not. So there's probably something else. So that's probably where they're excited about.
Well, how about Corey Knebel? You caught up with him at the All-Star game. He's in the midst of a terrific year. Now I think you slot Swarzak in there as a setup man. And now instead of having a couple of questions about the bullpen, because I think Torres had struggled a bit, now you could slot Swarzak in there. You got your eighth and your ninth taken care of. Jarrett Hughes having a nice season. There's some decent arms in the bullpen. I think this was a great move. It depends on who they're giving up, who the Brewers are giving up. But bottom line is, nice job by the Brewers solidifying the back end of the bullpen.
Yeah, well, listen, Barnes, don't forget Barnes either, by the way.
Oh, and Barnes, yes.
Barnes is their setup guy right now. And Barnes is a guy that's he's stuck on 97, 98 every pitch. So, I mean, I don't know if they are going to move the eighth inning to Swarzak, but whatever it is, at least you have now 7, 8, and 9.
That's a great point. Yeah, and now you got 7, 8, and 9. It's another name to bring up there. By the way, Ryan Cordell is the name that is going to the Chicago White Sox. Cordell is an outfielder. He was the number 17 Brewers prospect on MLB.com. Just reading up on him a little bit, Jeff Passan, buddy of mine with Yahoo Sports, talking to scouts, fourth outfielder type. He's 25 years old. So he was in AAA at Colorado Springs, the Brewers AAA there, 855 OPS, 10 home runs. We'll see. And you and I discussed this too. I'm looking at his numbers saying, oh, he's probably a fourth outfielder. And you said, yeah, the White Sox see something in him, and maybe he's more than just a fourth outfielder.
Yeah, I'm sure. Listen, I'm sure these guys saw him and they liked him enough to have to make a trade. And usually when somebody's traded for at those high levels for a big league or a AAA guy, that means that they see him on their major league team. So sometimes these quote-unquote fourth outfielder guys become everyday players and become stars. So hopefully that happens to this guy who has a team that obviously wanted him. So it's a good opportunity.
Steven Strasburg has a nerve impingement. He threw from flat ground today, said everything's better. So they're playing it very, very cautious with him, are the Nationals, and that's why Edwin Jackson's out there once again. You know, it's very interesting the way that they handle Steven Strasburg. They definitely handle him with kid gloves. And so they put him in bubble wrap. And I think at this point, I'm fine with that, JP. If that's what you need, we're sitting here in the middle of summer. We're in late July. And if that guy feels anything twinging, fine. Take him out of the game. Sit him down. If he needs to miss a start or two, miss a start or two. And why not play it safe with him? This is not Max Scherzer. This is not a guy that goes out there and plays through discomfort. He pitches. If something feels bad, get him out. That's the only unfortunate thing. He needs perfect conditions to be the pitcher that we thought he'd be.
Hey, again, it all comes down to make it to the postseason. And if he can pitch in the postseason and he does, you know, whatever he needs to do, and if he pitches well, everything goes away. The glass, the them saying that he's an orchid, all that stuff. You go to the postseason and you pitch well, you don't have to worry about any of that junk anymore because you ultimately helped him win in the playoffs.
You know, I've talked about him going to the bullpen and being a closer. Now, he signed that monster deal. And listen, when he is a starter, he's just too valuable to throw into the bullpen. But if this guy continues with the injuries, why would you not use the Kerry Wood treatment and use him as a closer? Let him go out there. Just let it all fly for an inning. Let him throw 98 miles an hour, 99 miles an hour, and you use him as a closer. You know, I don't see why that's such a crazy idea. They've got Max Scherzer right now. They got Gio Gonzalez. They got Tanner Roark. Now, you're not going to do it this season, but maybe long-term the bullpen is where he would be best suited.
Yeah, I think, you know, you still have to try to hang on to him as a starter as long as possible because dominant starters are hard to come by. If he continues, I mean, I know he gets hurt, but, you know, everybody as a starter, what are starters making? Well, they're making $30 million when you're on the top line of a starter. What is the top line of a closer making? Well, they're making $15 million. You know, that's as shallow as it sounds, that's what these guys, you know, that's a big part of it. These guys want to, you know, if you're telling me I can be a good starter and make a lot more money in my career and, you know, do better, or go to the pen, and I understand it, then it gets into the health, but you're going to try to go as long as possible for you to be a starter in the major leagues as opposed to a bullpen guy.
Just throwing out some rumors at you. I like this one. Thomas Harding has been covering the Rockies. He's been covering the Rockies for a long time. He's with MLB.com. So Harding is saying that the Rockies have Jonathan Lucroy on their radar. Again, the Rockies not getting much production out of their catchers offensively. We thought that might be an issue for them coming into the year. Justin Wilson, every team has been linked to Justin Wilson of the Tigers and Brad Brock of the Orioles. I mean, Greg Holland continues to have a great year. I think some of their relievers have gotten a little bit tired, a little worn down as the season has gone on. I wouldn't mind seeing them go Wilson and Brock and Jonathan Lucroy. Of course, that would make their team a lot better. Do they have the prospects to go do that? But the Rockies are down 2-0 to the Cardinals. Game's in the bottom of the second. Rockies are tied with the Diamondbacks atop the wild card spot. You know, there is a team out there. I don't know which team in the National League. One of those teams might make a run at them. I think the Rockies got through their rough patch, though. Just 3 weeks headed into the All-Star break. They played much better since the All-Star break. Of the three guys, Lucroy, Wilson, or Brock, just pick one of those guys that you would make the number one priority for the Rockies. Would it be a catcher? Would it be a righty reliever or a lefty reliever?
Well, just looking at their bullpen, I'm probably going to get me a lefty. And I know they have McGee. Actually, they have Dunn. So, I mean, I would go. Listen, I think you can't go wrong anyways because Wilson can get righties, lefties out it regardless. So it'd be Wilson or Brock. But the Lucroy thing, the only reason why I'm not on the Lucroy thing is one, he hasn't really been crazy offensively himself. But two, you're messing with the mix of a catcher and the relationship of these pitchers. Whatever they've had has been working. So you just got to be careful. This is a guy who's going to be coming in and calling games for the pitchers that he has no idea about. So I think, you know, you got to be careful with picking up a catcher.
So you got to be careful because they're just stepping in needing to learn a new rotation, which is really what Lucroy did last year too, though, if you'll remember, going out to Texas and doing the same thing.
Yeah, and but it's still you. Texas was a little bit of a better built team in the sense of there was a you know, you're going with the Hamels and Darvish. Well, Darvish was out, but you have better pitchers and more mature pitchers. You're going to a young team in Colorado. You just got to make sure that you have that synergy from catcher to pitcher. And again, I think it's tough. They don't have the opportunity. If you're Colorado, you don't have the opportunity to miss some beats.
You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, and we'll be right back with more after this.
Take TuneIn with you wherever you go with TuneIn On Demand. Jumping on a flight or planning a long road trip? Download episodes of your favorite podcasts or audiobooks and enjoy hours of great audio content no matter where you are. When you're ready to escape, head to your favorites, hit play, and listen with or without a Wi-Fi connection. Featuring top podcasts and audiobooks in every genre, save your data with TuneIn On Demand. Download your favorites today.
And now, more of the MLB At The Plate podcast. Here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
There were 15 games on Tuesday, and to bring you up to speed on all the action, we got the best day ever, Home Run Tracker, and statistically speaking. We got our best day ever, where we talk about the guys that we think were better than everybody else today. We also have Home Run Tracker, and statistically speaking, let's get to part number one.
Best day ever on MLB At The Plate.
Who's your pitcher, J.P.?
I'm going with Mr. Charlie Morton, and he went, I'm pulling it back up right now. He went
seven innings. Nine Ks.
Hey. This is my time to shine. Seven innings, three hits, one walk, nine punchies, Charlie Morton.
Yeah, he was nasty again tonight. I'm going with Cesar Valdez of the Toronto Blue Jays. Six innings, five hits, a run, and four Ks. It had been 2,641 days between victories for Mr. Valdez, and 1,208 other pitchers got a win since he got his last win. So congratulations to Blue Jays pitcher Cesar Valdez. I think the Blue Jays know they're in trouble when Matt Latos and Cesar Valdez have to start for them. It's just not been a good year. Let's move on. By the way, is the fork in the Blue Jays yet? Yes or no?
Man, I got to go this weekend. They
still he's still putting it off.
Hey, by the way, so that our listeners understand the amount of the thousands of days, he was 7 years in change between wins. That's pretty impressive. Perseverance. Yeah,
2,641 days between wins. That is actually saying something. That's why he's there. I mean, that's why he's my best day ever. How about this guy just sticking in long enough so he could do it again? And he took down the A's tonight. How about at the plate? Who's your guy?
I went with Eddie Encarnacion. I got to do it. Walk-off grand slam. 2-for-4 with a double homer. 4 ribbies, 2 walks. And, I mean, he's on his way. He's creeping back up. His OPS is starting to get close to 900. He'll be back over in no time. I mean, just super excited to watch this dude do well.
Yeah, I'm going with Harrison Bader, who was just called up by the Cardinals today, 23-year-old center fielder. Dexter Fowler went on the DL. This kid came up. He was 0-for-3 going into the bottom of the ninth inning. Got his first major league hit. It was a double. He went to third and then tagged up on a shallow fly ball to right, and he scored. Harrison Bader, the St. Louis Cardinals' best day ever.
1-for-4, and you go best day ever? That's
his
Consado.
Major league debut. It's literally his best day ever. Come on. You telling me he's ever had a better day than that, and you're going to knock me? Come on. Give me a break. Let's get to the home runs from today and tonight.
MLB At The Plate Home Run Tracker.
Wilson Contreras of the Cubs, 3-run blast, went 417 feet. Whit Merrifield hit the first pitch of the night in the Royals-Tigers games, and it in the Royals-Tiger game, and it went 396. Tim Beckham hit one 436. Bradley Zimmer's first Major League Grand Slam was a tie for the hardest hit of the night. 112-mile-an-hour exit velo went 435. Michael Brantley's homer went 420, and Cole Calhoun's 3-run shot in that game went 423. Travis Shaw, Paul DeJong, Mike Napoli all going yard. Eric Thames crushed one 427 feet. Manny Pena, Trey Mancini both going yard as well. Joey Gallo's first home run traveled 421 feet, 104 off the bat. His second went 364, 97 off the bat. That's kind of like a little sneeze, and he just ran into it, 364, 97. That's not a Joey Gallo home run, but it was. Luis Valbuena hit one 406. Christian Yelich tied Bradley Zimmer for the hardest hit home run with 112 exit velo went 395. Didi Gregorius, Rougned Odor, Yoenis Cespedes all going deep. Trevor Story hit one 405. Guillermo Heredia's three-run blast for the Mariners went 377. Hunter Renfro, another blast from him, 101 off the bat, 399 into left field at Petco. Alan Cordoba, his shot went 386. Taijuan Walker, pitcher, Arizona Diamondbacks, this is no joke. He hit one 455, 110 exit velo, 455 feet, longest home run of the night. Matt Kemp hit one 380, Hanley Ramirez 414, Edwin Encarnacion's walk-off grand slam went 406, and Kirk Suzuki hit one 411. Let's look a little deeper into the numbers.
Statistically speaking.
All right, this is a historically bad rotation for the Orioles, JP. This is the 38th time this year that an Orioles starter has allowed five or more runs. No other team has more than 31 such games this year, and their starting rotation is pushing six on the year. That has not happened very many times in Major League Baseball. Struggling.
It's pretty terrible.
And usually it's bad, but this is historically bad.
And this has nothing to do with Wellington Castillo, but again, it just shows the value of Matt Wieters. I mean, Matt Wieters was a guy who called pitches for that team every day, and he's pretty special behind the dish. So, you know, now he's winning on another team.
The Reds turned a triple play in the second inning, their first since 1995 against the Marlins. That was also the first run-scoring triple play, which happened with Todd Frazier at the plate. First run-scoring triple play since 2006 when the M's and Twins did it. You had the Astros winning game number 67 tonight, joining the Dodgers with 67 through 100 games. Two teams won their 67 of 100 games in the same season with 1954, the Yankees and Indians. My God, there's a lot of numbers in this one. It is statistically speaking, but just to do it again. Astros won number 67 tonight. Dodgers had 67 wins through 100 games. Last time two teams won 67 of their first 100 games of the same season was 1954, the Yankees and Indians.
Pretty exciting. Pretty exciting.
What a horrible. First of all, it's typed poorly. Probably cut and pasted from Twitter. Garbage. I'm all over Abe now.
Yeah. We need to keep. Somebody has to do it.
Javi Baez, first five strikeout game by a Cubs player since Ted Lilly in 2008. First position player to do it since Giovanni Soto in 2008. Later that year, Giovanni Soto was suspended for marijuana use. And Ozzie Guillen told me a great story about how people, because there was the Windy City Classic, and I went to that game on the south side, and he told me a story. He goes, I've never done that stuff because in Venezuelan prisons, they cut your head off with a machete and play soccer with it. So remember, kids, don't do drugs. Aaron Judge has hit 15 straight games at Yankee Stadium, second longest home hitting streak in baseball this season, 16 games. Joey Gallo has more games with multiple home runs than multiple singles, has two multi-home run games, one multi-single game. Astros, first team to ever win nine interleague games in a season. At 20 years old and 274 days, Red Sox prospect Rafael Devers, youngest player to appear in a major league game this season. Taijuan Walker is the 14th pitcher to hit a homer this season, third to do it against the Braves. Mike Montgomery and Marcus Stroman also did it. And here's a statistical oddity. Kurt Suzuki's nine homers have all come in different innings. One in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh, eighth, and 12th. Boom, baby. That's statistically
that
speaking.
That was the best one.
I know. He should have put it first. I like that a lot.
No, you got to save the best for last, man.
Okay. I still think the Ozzie Guillen story was the best, but that's fine. Because it was a true story. That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each weeknight for MLB at the Plate. During the daily 5-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard in the podcast, but you also have the chance to listen live to the games and get the action as it happens. For Abe and Dustin in the LA studio and JP Aaron CB alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you manana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.